Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here. It's good to see Tom Sin this morning. One of our spiritual sons. Thanks for bringing him, Trent. Appreciate that. Yeah. Get him to church. Amen. It's good to see him. And good to see all of you. Yeah. So the doctor released me to do some more walking, so I didn't ride my chariot into the service this morning. So, but I may have to sit down before the message is over. I still can't stand for an hour. So that's a little warning. Could be preaching for an hour. But I am so excited about what God is doing. You know, God is on the move. I'm so excited about all of you who are here this morning. And if I was honest, I would honestly say I'm disappointed with who isn't here this morning. This is a strategic time in our personal lives, in our church ministry, and in our nation. And we can't afford not to gather together in the house of the Lord. Amen. As the people of God. Let's give the Lord a praise. We have this opportunity and this privilege to gather. You know, they're restricting many churches from gathering around the world. And if you're not on the news in other nations, then you wouldn't know that. But even in Australia, they told a church that as long as they teach biblical doctrine according to LGBT, that they will be restricted from even meeting in their churches. In Canada, they have burnt down churches. They've arrested pastors. There are many things going on in Brazil. There are many things going on to stop the move of God in this season. And we can close our eyes, put our head in the sand, and pretend like nothing's going on. But look at our nation and how contrary they are to the Word of God and the principles and foundation that we find in God's Word. Do you agree they are contrary? The scripture says that we are to deliver ourselves from this untoward generation. We have a generation that is untoward God. And God in this season is revealing the depths of the depravity of our nation, of our government, of the ideas that are being taught in our educational system. God is actually having mercy on us by revealing to us what is really going on under the surface. While we have been busy enjoying our own life, enjoying Jesus, hallelujah, the devil has been busy at work. And so God is awakening the church. He's awakening his people because we have a responsibility in these end times that we step up and take our position as the ecclesia, as the ruling instrument that God uses in the earth today. Brother Gabe said, our words have power. Your words have power. Be careful what you speak in this season. Hallelujah. Speak life over your life. Speak life over negative reports. Lots of members have gotten negative reports. But the scripture asks the question, whose report will you believe? Come on. Whose report will you believe? That old song, we will believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. We believe the report of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your report. He is so worthy. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we see the rhetoric change from day to day, and the cover-ups to cover up what was said the day before, so that people are trying not to be held accountable for their words and what they're saying, what they're doing. You know, I so appreciate the Word of God.
Amen.
It is our foundation. It's a sure foundation that we're standing upon this morning. And as the Lord was speaking to me a few weeks ago about asking the church to go on this Daniel fast, I wasn't sure what all of that meant or what was involved with all of that, but any one of you that know me know that I am real quick to say, "Yes, Lord," way before I know what I'm getting myself into. Hallelujah. So God reveals as we go when we say, "Yes, Lord." Why is He going to tell you anything else if you're not going to agree with what He's asking you to do? It's your choice. God gives us a free will. Amen? It's up to us. But when we say, "Yes, Lord," we know that all the hosts of heaven join in to cause us to be successful to fulfill the will of God in our life. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a thanksgiving for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to begin our study today, and let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we're honored to be here today together. And we know that Your Spirit is here with us. And Holy Spirit, we ask You to teach us. May Your Word be spirit and life to our souls and our bodies. Lord, I just thank You, Father, that You fill in the gaps. You connect the dots. Lord, as we study together, as we look at this Daniel fast that You've called the church to go on, and we thank You for it. And everyone said, "Yes, Lord."
Yes, Lord.
Okay. You can get the outline at www.godsriver.com every week. And also, if you have the River of Life app, I believe it comes into you, is sent in on the app, as well as if we have your email address, we send it out in an email. I encourage you to get the outlines and so that you can study. The scripture says, "Study to show yourself approved." I can't remember a time that Leonard and I didn't go home and restudy what the pastor taught. And I know there's several people here that print out that outline and they study it again. Because the Lord will speak to you. He'll talk to you. So we're going to start with this. There are three duties of Christians. Three duties. So let's go to our first scripture. And these are things that Jesus spoke. He said, "When you give." Matthew 6, 2 through 4. Let's read it together. "So when you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. Truly, I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." One of the duties of every Christian is to give. Second thing, Jesus said, "When you pray." Matthew 6, 5 through 6, let's read it. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Second duty, when you pray. Third, Jesus said, "When you fast." Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Let's read it together. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus made it clear that fasting, giving, and prayer is a normal part of our Christian life. Should be. And as much attention should be given to fasting as is given to giving and praying. In the books of wisdom, Solomon talks about a threefold cord that cannot be broken. And we know that that is used in weddings a lot, in relationships. It's God and the husband and the wife. That threefold cord is so powerful. Well, this can also be a threefold cord: giving, prayer, and fasting. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, who can withstand him? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Gabe used the scripture from the book of Psalms of a righteous man. A righteous man is surrounded with a shield of favor by the Lord God Almighty. Well, what makes a man righteous? It is when we obey the word of God and we give and we pray and we fast. When we fulfill the three duties that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, we become his righteousness and he releases his favor and it surrounds us like a shield. The question would be that you should ask yourself, am I missing out on the greatest breakthroughs because I have failed to fast? Am I missing out on that supernatural breakthrough and answer to prayer because I'm giving? Oh yeah, we have wonderful givers in this house. And I'm praying. We have wonderful prayers in this house. But are we fasting? Matthew shares the story of a father who had a demon-possessed son. And for years, he had suffered with severe convulsions, epileptic seizures. And as he grew older, the attacks became more severe. And the boy would often throw himself into the fire. He would throw himself into a trench of water. And a suicidal spirit tormented him constantly, and the situation had become life-threatening. And the father was concerned for his son, and he had sought doctors. He had even gone to the disciples for the disciples to heal his son, and he had exhausted everything, and he could not find help for his son. Well, he had an opportunity to take his son before Jesus, and so we're going to pick that up and read that story in Matthew 17, 14 through 16. Let's read it. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Matthew 17, 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Let's read on. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Fasting is connected with our faith. When we fast, our faith is increased. Because when we fast, we remove clutter from our life and we're able to draw closer to the Lord. We're able to hear the Lord. And our faith begins to grow because we have this deeper relationship with God. We want to just speak to the mountain. We just want to say the words and see things happen. But the Lord is very clear about conditions for supernatural breakthrough and for healing and restoration of life. And that is what River of Life is called to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to be repairers of the breach, to restore the community. We are called to this, church. And we've received a word every year. I know 4 or 5 years ago I got a word from the Lord that the deliverance anointing was going to go to another level. And my anointing has. I've seen devils scream and come out of people when people didn't even know they had a devil. Come on. We can be held captive by the enemy and not even realize that that demon is on the inside of our soul until he starts to roar and God calls him out. But as a whole, as a corporate whole, our praying has increased. Our giving is consistent. You know, when you tithe, when you're in financial covenant with God, the devil can't touch your money. But you leave it wide open for the enemy to come in and steal your harvest and steal your increase. When we give God 10%, God blesses the 90% way above 110%. We thank God that we were taught that at an early age. When I got a dollar, I took in a dime. And I gave it to the deacons. You know, and they always took the kids' money because they knew the parents were teaching them to tithe on what their increase was. And as you're faithful with that, God does surround you like a shield. God does protect you on every side. But he has conditions, church. We just want it to happen. You see, we have a society that likes everything quick and easy. We've got a microwave. We've got an internet. If you want to know, you just ask Google. And then you don't know for sure if that's the truth, what Google's telling you. I'm just saying. But I thought it was interesting that Jesus used the phrase, howbeit. I'm sure his disciples went to him saying, how be it? You gave us authority to cast out devils. They had cast out a lot of devils. They went out two by two. And remember, they were amazed that the demons came out screaming and people were healed through their ministry. Jesus had already anointed them to do this work. And so they were dumbfounded as to why this demon, why this man was not cured. How be it, Lord? Have you ever asked God that? How be it? I thought I'd done everything I was supposed to do. I've tried everything, God. How be it? And the Lord responded to them, this kind was not going to come out, but by prayer and fasting. Many people skip the prayer meeting. When it's prayer meeting time, they don't show up. And I'm sharing with you, you are missing the most important aspect of the church, the ecclesia, and that is praying. We're not talking on prayer. But we see that this stubborn demon would not come out for the disciples, but nothing was impossible for Jesus Christ. And he said nothing was impossible with us when we in faith, without doubting, say to the mountain, be removed. And we're moving in faith and we're moving in prayer and we are fasting before the Lord. Can someone say amen for me? Jesus knew, the very Son of God knew, that he had to fast to accomplish everything God had called him to do here in this earth. And if the Son of God had to fast to accomplish the ministry that his heavenly Father had sent him here to do, then how much more do we as the ecclesia, the body of Christ, need to fast to accomplish and fulfill our mandate and our God-given destiny as the body of Christ? Can someone shout unto the Lord? Fasting should be a common practice in our lives. In the early church, it was very common. Let's go on. What is fasting? The definition is fasting is voluntarily abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Sometimes people fast food and water, but that is the exception rather than the rule. In Matthew 4:2, let's read that together. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Jesus fasted food, but did not abstain from water. The scripture doesn't say anything about him being thirsty. So biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose, and in your notes, I would add, and a supernatural breakthrough. It'll come. It'll come. Whoever said amen, thank you. It will come when we fast before the Lord. So fasting brings a person into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. And in Psalm 42, David was fasting before the Lord. And this was the psalm that he wrote. Let's read it. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We see that as he hungered and he thirsted for God, food didn't matter. You see, once you get a taste of God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, everything in this world becomes very dim. It's just not that important anymore. Somebody yell amen.
Amen.
For those of you who have fasted, you know how when you get in the depths of God, you know that the next scripture says deep calls unto deep. It's getting into the depths of God and the deep begins to call out for God. It is difficult to put into words what you experience supernaturally. But God is drawing all of us to that place, that we will know him. You intimately know him like a husband knows a wife. You intimately know the Lord. Once we experience that kind of intimacy with God, our Heavenly Father, there are countless blessings that follow. And our whole perspective changes. So when you eliminate food from your diet for a number of days, your spirit becomes uncluttered from the things of this world. And amazingly, you become more sensitive to the things of God. This next scripture has been on my heart for over a month. And I didn't know where it was going to fit in, but I realize now the depth of the scripture. Let's read it together. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So God has a design for us to get into the Spirit so that our spirit can communicate with His Spirit. I'm not saying your spirit isn't communicating with Him right now. I'm not saying that you can't communicate with God if you're not fasting. But there is a deeper communication that happens when you give up food. Let's go on. In the Bible, God reveals through David how to humble yourself before the Lord. David said in Psalm 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting. I afflicted my soul with fasting, in another translation. So fasting is the spiritual means ordained by God for us to humble ourselves before Him. There's four scriptures in the New Testament about humbling. The first one's in Matthew 18:4. And this is, Pastor David talked about this last week, about the disciples wanting to know who's the greatest, you know. And that's what was going on in this passage. The disciples were saying to Jesus, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Do you see how carnal that is? Do you see how that's their soul crying out? You know, our soul cries out. It wants to be famous. It wants to be known. It wants to be loved and appreciated. And that's okay. Except for the Lord says, the way up is down. It is to humble ourselves. So let's read Matthew 18:4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on to say, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. You are never too great in the kingdom of God to not take time to minister to the children, to acknowledge the children, to recognize the children, to look in their eyes face to face, to make connection with them. Children are at adults' mercy. How are you treating the children? This child simply, Jesus said, come. The child simply went. If you can humble yourself like that, you're great in the kingdom. Matthew 23:12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The scripture says the greatest among you is your servant. Do you remember? Jesus took the towel, girded himself, and washed his disciples' feet. He humbled himself as a servant. We humble ourselves
as servants. And when we do that, God exalts us. We don't have to toot our own horn. You've heard that expression? And I can think of a whole lot of people that really exalt themselves. But then the Lord always says, think about you. You know, we can apply the Word of God to other people. People you see on TV that are so full of themselves. God will take care of that. Right? He says that He's going to humble the person that exalts themselves. So we're about to see some people fall. Amen. In that passage, let's go on to James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That scripture prior to that says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's saying, you cleanse your hands. Stop doing what you're doing. Purify your hearts. Stop thinking those unclean thoughts. You're double-minded. You don't know if God's going to answer or if He will come through. You don't know if you're going to obey Him on this point or if you're going to sin again. This is double-mindedness. He says, lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We always want to have a good time. We want to feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, there are times to mourn. There are times to weep. There are times to lament. And when we're in that place, it's humbling. We're humbled. We see the condition of people's lives. We see the condition of our own life. And we weep and cry before the Lord. It's how we draw near. Let's read the next one. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, just prior to that, the scripture is talking to young people. And it says, young people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Then it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Fasting is a way that God Himself appointed for His people to humble themselves before Him. Which reminded me of the scripture Micah 6:8, because if you remember at the beginning of the year, the Lord spoke to the church and He said, this is your scripture, follow this. And it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So you see, God begins to put things together. He gives us a scripture to follow, and then He teaches us how to do that. And we humble ourselves before the Lord with fasting. We've heard the saying, I'm sure you've heard the saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I think the devil knows that too. So when you make a decision to fast on that very day, God sees the desire of your heart. He will provide with grace for you to endure and to break through into whatever need it is that you have. God will bless you. He'll help you. He doesn't call us to a fast and just say, well, good luck. No. He helps us. He's going to help us get through this Daniel fast. Thank you, Jesus. We need help. But every day we're going to have to choose to dethrone the dictator on the inside of us. How many of you have a dictator that starts talking to you? Am I the only one? I got to talk back to it. Hallelujah. Because it'll get you. And we see that even in the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took of the fruit and she ate, and she also gave her husband with her, and he ate. So with one meal, Adam and Eve allowed sin to come into the world. And the peace that they had had with God, the relationship that they had with God was all gone. And they found themselves hiding in the garden, and they were afraid and they were ashamed, and they had never felt those feelings before. Because now they had the knowledge of good and evil. So basically you could say, and maybe this is where we get this saying, they ate themselves out of house and home. Let's read the scripture in Philippians 3:18-19. And before we read it together, I just want to share that prior to that, he's talking about people who walk according to the patterns of this world. Okay? Because when we jump in there, it's like, who are the enemies? They are the enemies. The enemies are the people who are walking and following the patterns of this world and are choosing to deny the power of God and the Word of God and allowing it to work in their lives. They are, if you notice, choosing the exact opposite. Have you noticed? Or don't you watch the news? I'm kind of a news buff. Dan Miller called me yesterday from Florida, and he always likes to call and chat about the news and what's going on, and he talked for 35 minutes. Hallelujah. We had so much fun. I had to go, though. I had a message that I was that was brewing in my heart. But I love hearing from him and Dina, and they miss everyone, love everyone. But you can see how the world is choosing the exact opposite of what God is saying. And this is what they were talking about. Jesus said, I've told you often, and now I'm telling you, even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of God, the cross of Christ. The enemies, you hear them talking. They have the microphone right now. They're talking and trying to convince the rest of the population that what they want to do is okay. But it's not okay if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And this is where we come in, church, to have that boldness, even when we're out in the marketplace, to speak up that this is not right and refuse to participate. Don't allow your children to participate. We're not taking a part of this. And children are not smart enough, developed enough, to be able to make a choice. Parents will say, well, I'm just going to let my children choose. Well, your children are going to choose sin because sin is in the root of every person that is born. And so you're automatically, your children don't choose if they go to church. You choose. You're the adult. You choose what comes into your house and what stays out of your house. You protect your children. The world isn't protecting our children. The media is not protecting our children. That's the parents' responsibility. So Philippians 3:18-19 says, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Don't think that you can make friends with the enemy. Don't try to convince a demon, because you're not going to. We have to begin to see the truth of what is going on in a person's life. They are deceived. It is a spirit of deception. It is gross darkness that has covered their minds. And if we're walking in the light, we should be able to recognize the darkness and speak into the darkness so that light will come. Are you going to get the reaction you want? Probably not. But are you a friend of the world or are you a friend of God? We are at this point in our culture, church, that we had better decide whose side we're on and stand up and speak it out like the book of Proverbs says, wisdom is in the streets and crying out. The world needs to hear the wisdom of God. And thank God that there are people that are going out in the street and making a difference and speaking it out. Jesus. Hashikamashata. Thank you, Lord. Hashatana masata. Their God is their belly. They just follow the dictator, the desires of their flesh constantly. It's perverted. It's an abomination, the scripture says, before the Lord. You got to call it what it is. But on this fast, back to our fast, we're dethroning that dictator within. You're going to have to talk to him and tell him no. So let's take a look at this. What is the Daniel fast? It's fasting for health and healing. And I encourage you to add spiritual breakthrough to that. God promised in Isaiah 56:7-8, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, shall be your rear guard. So when we begin fasting and praying for physical health and healing, we must realize that our healing is in God's hands. Many of you have heard me say many times, we have some very serious health conditions going on within our congregation. Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, is the God who heals us from all of our diseases. Exodus 15:26. He's the one that heals us. As we begin this fast, we must recognize God is our healer. It's not because of what we're doing. However, what we're doing is honoring what God told us to do, and God will heal. The results are in His hands. It's not in ours. We choose to do what God is asking us to do. So we're going to read the story about Daniel. And because this is where this fast comes from. And it's in Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel was taken captive at a young age. And we're going to read through this, and then I'm going to read a passage from my Bible. But Daniel 1:5 says, "And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king." Now this is talking about Daniel and three of his friends who were taken captive as teenagers. They were probably around 15. And I'll share that a little bit later. So they were being offered the best that the king had. And they were picked because they were intelligent. They had it going on for them. And so they had the abilities to be developed to serve in the king's court. So you see, the king was looking for resources. And people are resources. And so he wanted them to come. So he was going to train them, teach them the Babylonian language, teach them all kinds of things. So we're going to pick this up in Daniel 1:8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And so Daniel talked to the chief of the eunuchs that was over him and the rest of the Hebrews that were with him and asked if they could be released from that. And this is the answer. Daniel 1:9-10. "Now God had brought Daniel into the favor of the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.'" Let's go on. "So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants.' So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables, as these four young men. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had all understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." Will you bring me one of those chairs to sit in? I'm feeling just a little dizzy. Not sure why. Thanks. I think when I look down too much, I feel a little dizzy. Always, the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Hallelujah. We'll keep going here. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1. And this is from my Care and Counsel Bible. This is a Bible written specifically for biblical counselors. And I wanted to read this, especially because it addresses the youth. And so Daniel was taken captive to Babylon from his native Jerusalem when he was about 15 years old. He and his Jewish friends were thrust into a hostile environment where much pressure was put on them to accept pagan beliefs and lifestyles. The fact that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself under this pressure is a great testimony to the ability of an adolescent to develop the kind of spiritual maturity that will enable them to reject peer pressure. Now remember, these are a group of 15-year-olds. They didn't have their parents there. They didn't have their elders there telling them they could or couldn't do something. But he had purposed it already in his heart that he was going to serve God and he wasn't going to defile himself. So when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians in the summer of 605 BC, Daniel was only a teenager. He and several others were taken captive by the Babylonians and placed in a 3-year training program in which they were expected to learn the Babylonian view of life and religion. They were even forced to learn the Babylonian language and given Babylonian names. Daniel in Hebrew means God is my judge. His name was changed to Belteshazzar, which is the Babylonian language that means the God of Baal is my judge. It also means the prince of Baal. It may have been as close to the Babylonians could come to translating the meaning of his name, but I think it was intentional because there is a war that is still going on. Baal worship goes on here in the United States and all over the world. The verse that summarizes Jesus' adolescence serves to describe Daniel's. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Daniel built upon the good start he received as a child. He exercised great wisdom in discerning between acceptable Babylonian habits and those that would compromise his faith. He accepted the king's training, but not the king's diet. He served the king loyally, but stopped at acknowledging the divine claim of the king. Daniel learned the new language, but he kept an old habit of daily prayer. Because he continually made God the focus of his life, Daniel made a deep impression on all he met. He grew into one of the clearest biblical examples of a godly person. Young people seeking to grow to serve God can learn much from Daniel's example. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord. All right, so we'll stand up again and see what happens here. So we enter the Daniel fast for two physical reasons. One is as therapy when we are sick and need healing. And I think I'll just sit back down. I don't know if it's my glasses or what. One is for therapy when we're sick and need healing. And the other is as a prevention to keep us from becoming sick or getting a disease. The Daniel fast withholds extra rich foods. Is there anyone here that doesn't like extra rich foods besides Leonard? He doesn't eat them. Okay, so on the fast, we eat necessities on the Daniel fast. And it is to cleanse our digestive system, to rest our body, and to renew our system. When Daniel and his friends refused to eat the delicacies. They refused to eat the meat from the king's table, possibly because it had been sacrificed to idols before it was cooked for the king. And so just, he was not going to defile himself. The Daniel fast rests on three biblical foundations, and that is faith and prayer and fasting. God can heal through fasting. God has placed within every physical body the ability to heal itself. And technically, doctors, they perform surgical procedures and they give you medicine, but they do not heal people. The doctor is not your healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God, is the God who heals us from every disease. Germs cause illnesses in the human body. And when the doctor performs a surgery or a medicine removes them, then the body can begin to heal itself. We thank God for doctors. We're not discrediting them. Thank God I had a good surgeon for my knees. Thank you, Lord, for Dr. Clausen. He's a Christian man. So, you know, you want to know who's operating on you, not just anybody lays hands on you. Hallelujah. His parents were missionaries. He was a missionary child. They were medical missionaries. And he was raised out on the mission field and just has a love and compassion for people to help them. And he's one of the most well-known joint replacement surgeries in the world. He's really known in that realm. He's a professor out at Notre Dame. And it just goes on and on how God has used him to help people. Thank you, Lord. So God has given us a wonderful physical body that he calls his temple. Let's read that scripture. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body belongs to God. He wants our body healthy. But if we make the wrong choices, our body is not going to be healthy. And I know God's been talking to several people. He's been talking to me for years. You've got to eat right. That's not a good choice, Janet. And you know, just because you like to eat it and that dictator is within you, you just go ahead and push aside that little voice that's telling you not to do it and you eat it anyway. Hallelujah. I was teasing my girls. For my 70th birthday, I was laughing. I said, you know, I've eaten healthy and unhealthy all my life because I do eat healthy, but I also make some unhealthy choices. And I said, you know, I think after I turn 70, I'll just eat healthy. I wasn't serious. However, after my surgery, my first surgery on March 1st, I had no taste for any extra food that I had eaten before, anything that really wasn't that good for me. I really just didn't even want it. And so I started thanking God that that desire had gone from me. I don't know if the anesthesia took it away. The medication, you know, you just don't know. But it was like, hey, while I feel this way, I'm going to take advantage of it and make some really healthy choices. Yeah, and I had Lisa doing my grocery shop, and so she knows how to shop healthy. Hallelujah. And so I just thank God. I've lost 25 pounds since March 1st. Eating healthy. And I wasn't doing it to lose weight as much as I knew God had been speaking to me. And when I jokingly said to my children, because they laughed and said, well, Mom, why should you bother now? But the Lord wanted me to. And so you see, he will help us. He will help us on this journey because our bodies are his temple. They belong to him. So the Daniel fast can be preventative. It can be preventative to be keeping you from getting a disease, or it can be curative. You know, God can move and intervene as the great physician if you already have a disease, and God is able to heal you. Hallelujah. So we're just going to take a look at a few steps, and then we're going to wrap this up from what we read in Daniel. This account, Daniel was specific. So in your fast, be specific. We have a sheet to hand out to you of Daniel fast, which is foods that you can eat. We also have a preparation for the Daniel fast that we're going to hand out very shortly, that we're going to fill out together. Fast is a spiritual commitment. Daniel was doing something in the physical to represent what his heart was, what his motive was on the inside. It was a spiritual commitment not to defile himself. We can make a spiritual commitment to take care of our temple. 3, it reflects the inner desire by outer discipline. The fruit of the spirit of self-control will grow during this fast. We decree. Hallelujah. 4, pray to perceive sin's role in poor health. The scripture says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Pray to perceive sin's role in your poor health or how you can improve. 5, fast as a statement of faith to others. 6, learn the effects of the food you eat. Have you ever heard the old saying, you are what you eat? We don't want to believe that, do we? And 7 is yield all the results to God. God's in charge of the results, not us. Practical principles to remember is the Daniel fast is longer than a day. And the Daniel fast is a partial fast. And the Daniel fast includes healthy food. And the Daniel fast requires abstinence from rich foods. I just want to share a testimony with you before we hand out the contracts. And they're all on this table here, the Lord is my shepherd table, Elder Ron. But this is a testimony from Elmore L. Towns. And some of the information, I've taken this from several books, what I compiled today. But I love this testimony. Something's hitting it, maybe my earring. We'll see if that helps. In April 1985, this is about the Daniel fast, Dean of Students Vernon Brewer of Liberty University was diagnosed with cancer. The doctors gave him a short time to live. Vernon Brewer was a well-liked dean because he was fair in handling discipline problems. His life magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. Word about his cancer grieved the entire student body. All 5,000 students were asked to join in prayer and fasting for Dean Brewer's healing. The students were given several days to prepare themselves for the fast and then to learn what fasting would do. Then the students began a 24-hour prayer vigil in the school chapel. The chapel only seated 200 people, so the students were asked to alternate one-hour segments throughout the night and day. The chapel was always overflowing. Therefore, the chapel windows were opened, allowing students sitting on the grass outside to join in the time of prayer with those inside. The number of those praying during the darkest hours of the night was greater than during the day when classes were in session. The food services of the university shut down, except for a small serving line for about 50 diabetic students who had to eat and could not physically join in the fast. Even then, those whose conditions required them to eat prayed just as intently as those who were fasting. After fasting and praying, 3 medical procedures were performed to save Dean Brewer's life. First, a 5-pound cancerous mass was surgically removed from his chest. Next, he received both radiation and chemotherapy. As I write this story, 10 years later, Vernon Brewer is alive and as healthy as he was before we fasted and prayed. He directs World Help, a missionary and humanitarian organization. Every time I see Vernon Brewer, I know God heals in answer to prayer and fasting. Now, he wrote this story in April of 1985. 10 years later would have been 1995, and Vernon was still going strong. Well, he was still growing strong up to 2018 when he stepped down from his position as president to the World Help Organization, which is a missionary effort that reaches out and takes care of children. And so he has actively been in the ministry from 1985 to 2018 when his daughter took his position of that organization. I couldn't find out what he is doing now. I'm sure he's doing something even in his older age, but he is alive because of prayer and fasting. So, Elder Ron, if you'll get the preparation and the Daniel sheets that are right there, and we'll hand those out for, he could use some help if there's another usher available to hand out. He has one sheet. We're going to do the preparation first. And after we do this, I am going to ask the elders to come up. And sorry, I sent the bottles of oil flying. If you want to participate in this fast, we're going to put on some music, and I just want to give the elders an opportunity, if you'd like them to anoint you as you begin this fast. We're doing this as a church. You want to get the other papers? Pastor Leonard, everyone should have one of these too. They're right there. Okay, Carol's got them. Oh, Cheryl's got them. Yeah, that's the preparation. Okay, if you have your preparation for Daniel fast, we're going to take a look at that. And if you have a pen or a pencil, you can fill it out. Or if you want to fill it out at home, you can. The aim of the Daniel fast is for health and healing. Specifically, I am fasting too, and write out your reason that you're fasting. Write out your reason. Let's stay focused on this next 21 days. This is going to help us stay focused as we go through this. Carol has a list of foods if you need a list of foods as she's coming around. And this is the vow. Let's read it together. Everyone who has your sheet, let's read it. I believe God has given me my physical, mental, an emotional nature in which to glorify Him. Therefore, I renew my pledge to honor Him in every area of my life. I believe sickness is a result of our first parents' sin, and I renew my faith in the daily cleansing from sin available through Christ's blood. Believe in Jehovah Rapha that following His principles will give me health and that I can heal sickness, or he can heal sickness. Therefore, I commit myself to God's healing health and will fast and pray for it. The biblical basis is that, is this not the fast I have chosen? Your healing shall spring forth speedily. It's a good thing to speak over yourself. My healing will spring forth speedily. And those we're praying for, there are several people that we are praying for within our congregation. We can put their name in there. That their healing will spring forth speedily. We have some conditions in our congregation that only God can heal. Only God can heal. There's no other hope. There, and we have no other hope anyway, right? Except in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hope in doctors, surgeries, medicine. But like we said, if God doesn't move, we're not healed. The Bible promised the prayer of the faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. James 5:15. So then pray about what you're going to withhold. You have the list of Daniel foods. Maybe you're not able to do that. But make your list. And stick to it. And then when you're going to start and when you're going to stop. If you can go the full 21 days, that's wonderful. If you can only go 10, that's wonderful. It's more than one day. So if you can go 2 days. God being my strength and grace being my basis, I commit myself to the Daniel fast for God's glory, sign it and date it. And this is for you. This is for you. Our fast begins today. If you can jump on board today, that would be wonderful. And so during this time, if you have committed to do some kind of fasting during this, and would like the elders to anoint you, I'm going to ask our elders if they can come forward this morning and just position yourself so people can get to you. And if Maureen will direct traffic, that would be wonderful. And just come on up and get anointed. And here are 3 bottles of oil. That comes out fast, just so you know that. Here. And we'll spread out, elders, so that some on this side, please, and some on this side, and I'm going to go. Elders to mark you with the cross. This is what the rabbis did to their students. They would put the taw on their head, sign of the cross. So we're asking the elders to put the sign of the cross. Thank you. this fast. We stand in the gap for one another, for health and healing. Health and healing and supernatural breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus, for health and healing and supernatural breakthrough. Lord, as we commit ourselves to you, Father, to enter into this season of prayer and fasting, Lord, everyone. I'll ask Elder Ron if he'll walk around with the platter, and you can take a cube. And these are just some suggestions. It's not food that you're fasting, but some suggestions to improve your life, to honor God, glorify God. One of them says, fast from overspending. Try reducing spending by 10% and give those savings to people in need. Some suggestions. Fast from resentment and bitterness. Work on forgiving the people who have hurt you. Focus on some of these things. Fast from judging others. Before judging, recall how Jesus overlooks our faults. So these are just little reminders that we're on a fast from complaining. Instead of complaining, recall the moments of joy in your life. It was funny, one of Chase's little boys, before they moved, he came up to me and he goes, Pastor Janet, I think we need to get out those complaining bracelets again, because I'm hearing a whole lot of complaining. Kids are so honest. They tell on their families, don't they? Thank you, Lord. This is a reminder. So let's close in prayer as Ron finishes handing those out. Father, we thank you for this service today, for how you spoke to us today. God, I pray for every person listening, every member of our congregation, Lord, as we enter into this Daniel fast together. Lord, we thank you for healing, for restoration, for spiritual breakthroughs in each one of our lives and in our family's lives and our children's children, those that we love, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our cry, Lord, as we fast. We know that we put the results in your hands, thank you, Lord, for powerful testimonies to come out of this